Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Caleb Patterson, Midwest Muscle. P4P Real Talk. Even with gagging and clearing my throat, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscles. No, it takes a muscle. The number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the wizard. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, not in quicksand, but an actual foundation, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Ness?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Oh, it's so sweet when you say it that way. Check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. How are you doing, Dad?
I am doing awesome. And yourself, Mr. Kalen?
Oh, I'm doing quite choky, but I'm managing.
He was choking earlier. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but I think he's got himself pulled together.
Yes, I grabbed my arm, the other arm, both legs, and somehow or another it's taken together with our rope.
Awesome. So for those of you who tuned in with us earlier this week, we had a fantastic show. We had a lot of listener participation. In fact, so much we could not even get to all of the questions. But we have been collecting those and pulling those all together, and we have a follow-up show that's coming up. However, it is not coming up until next month, and let me tell you why. Because our January calendar was already full. Believe it or not,
yeah.
We had all of our slots filled up, ready to go with great guests just waiting to talk to you. And so we had to push through until late February. And I believe that is a Thursday, February 23rd, Kalen. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So for all of you ladies and gentlemen that had questions, because we had a good mix of both, we haven't forgotten about you. We are getting answers to those questions, and we are going to be sharing those with you on the 23rd. We're going to have Brenda Ray and Loretta Warren back with us again, and we'll address all of your questions from this past show and any new ones that you have. So put that date on your calendar and be sure to tune in.
And there you go.
And there we go. So tonight we have, and this is the reason why we're not covering any of these questions tonight, because tonight we're having a guest on that both Kalen and I are really excited to have on. We feel that he's got a phenomenal story. I think it's going to be a great message for anyone who's listening tonight or who will be listening in the future after they download this interview. And it's just one of those stories, Kalen, where, you know, life can kind of cut you down at times. And when that happens, you have to decide what you're going to do about it. And I know you've had life-altering experience like that. And we've had your story on how you've overcome. And tonight's individual is just as awe-inspiring is the word that I would use to describe what he's going to be sharing
with
us. That's
a very good term. I wholly agree with you. And like you were saying, that there's things that, you know, you do in life and you think, man, that was a bad decision. And then there's things that happen to you in life and you're like, you didn't have any say in it, but you still got to live the life after that. And I think this is one of those shows that's going to be dealing with that moment. And I'm just so happy that he agreed to come on the show, because this is, you know, he's got quite a story. So I'll let you introduce him and we'll get started.
All right, folks. So tonight we have with us Mr. Wesley Hamilton. If you know him on Facebook, he goes by Wes Be Humble. And I'd like to hear more about the background behind that change in name. But with that, I'm going to turn this over. Wes, welcome to P4P Real Talk. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, as you know, Kalen and I are so excited to have you on the show, and I know our listeners will be too. We would like for you to go ahead and and give an introduction of yourself so they have a better idea of who you are.
Okay, my name is Wesley, as you know.
Be humble.
I'm 29. I've been in a wheelchair for 5 years. I'm a father to a 7-year-old daughter. I am an adaptive CrossFitter as well as a wheelchair bodybuilder.
Wow. Now that in and of itself, just speaks volumes that you have all of those things going on and you lead such an active life. But I'm going to ask to go back about 5 years because you weren't always in a wheelchair, and it was actually what I'll call, a very abrupt twist of fate that brought you there. And if you wouldn't mind just starting us at the beginning of your story and what happened that put you in a wheelchair.
It started with a conversation. I went to have a conversation with a lady I was talking to. The conversation went well, but there was someone there. So it turned into a mild confrontation that I thought was resolved. I started to walk to my vehicle, and at that time I was shot by someone that I had never seen a day in my life. Turned around to see who it was, because I was in shock, I got shot again.
Oh, man.
I instantly fell to the ground. At that time, it was in public, so it was a lot of people that came around me. I really had probably 1,001 thoughts went through my head, but none of them was probably the best. I was in the process of getting my daughter full custody, so I had temporary custody of her at the time. So the first thing came to my head was, this is it. I thought I was doing so well in life, and, wow. It was my birthday weekend at that, so.
Oh, man.
I didn't have intention. I didn't have bad intentions. I was really, just going for a conversation, and it turned left. But, someone prayed with me. A young man actually held my hand while I was down there, and he gave me hope. He prayed with me, and that was something that I had never felt before. He didn't have to do it. I feel like he was younger than me. For him to do that, it kind of gave me hope for the whole situation. And I'm here today. So, hey, I look at him like an angel.
All right. And, when you're in a situation like that, like you said, there's 1,001 thoughts, but all of them seem to, stem toward the negative, because you really don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going on. And, especially with something that's basically an everyday occurrence in America, somebody going over to see somebody because they have an interest in them, and you're wondering, how did it go so wrong so fast? And, with you being, what I'm interested in, did that man's participation bring about the atmosphere and the personality you have now, or is that something you've always carried?
I think I've always been, an outgoing person, and kind of put myself in type of a leadership position to strive for more, and I just think that, this situation, it brought me to my lowest, and because I had the mentality before, I was able to get to where I am today and be able to have a smile on my face every morning I wake up.
Well, and I think that's probably very important in your whole recovery process that happened to that day, because as I understand, so you said there were two shots, and based on the background that I'm aware of, one went through your chest, fractured a rib, the other went through your abdomen, partially severing your spine, and that's what caused you to become paralyzed from the waist down. And I would have to imagine, so you had one miracle, one blessing right then and there with a young man that you said, knelt down and prayed with you while you're trying to process what just happened to you through all this pain. But then there's the part that, you know, gets you to the hospital and, you know, what was that recovery like? I mean, how long were you in the hospital and what were, you know, what happened after you were released?
Well, you know, when I first arrived to the hospital, the only thing that I probably said to the doctors, even though they was asking me, did I know my name, I just asked them to help me. When I woke up, I was in ICU. I had a tube in my mouth, and so all I could see was my intermediate family coming in and out, kind of just crying and things like that. So I didn't really know what was going on. I actually caught pneumonia while I was in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
I was in ICU for like 4 weeks. And then once I got out of ICU, it was a mind control. It was a mind thing going on. You know, they would come in. They never really told me what was happening with me till like 2 weeks later. So maybe it was about a week. They would come in and just feel my body and say, you know, can you feel this? You know, I say no, and then they leave out. You know, and I'm thinking like, whatever's going on since they're coming in here is going to wake back up. So after, you know, a couple of weeks, then they finally told me, you know, hey, you're paralyzed from the waist down. This is your, you know, this the diagnosis. So I went to rehab. I spent 2 months in rehab. Every morning I woke up in rehab, I thought I was going to walk. So I never really accepted anything. I just thought I was going to walk. So it became hard for me once I got out because reality hit. And I knew that I wasn't going to walk, at least at that moment. So I struggled. I went back to trying to live a normal life, went back to an 8-hour-a-day job, and I was 230 pounds. So being heavy in a wheelchair, I mean, I relied on everybody. I was a dependent for a while. And I was depressed, so I didn't do anything they told me to do for health issues. I just wanted to be normal. So I eventually end up catching, got an infection in my body, in my tailbone, and it caused a pressure ulcer. So for 2 years straight, I was on bed rest.
Wow, 2 years straight.
Yeah, I had 6 surgeries in 2 years. For 1 year straight, I actually had to get my intestines reversed and get a bag on because I couldn't do anything because the ulcer was right on my tailbone. So putting any type of pressure on it just wasn't going to work.
So
I was told that it was only going to be 3 months. It happened to be a year. It was very depressing. You know, it was very stressful. I didn't want people around me because I didn't feel right. I didn't feel like
you didn't
myself.
Want to fix it. Yeah.
You know,
especially, you know, like you said, if you've got such a positive attitude, you don't want that kind of pity, and you don't want people looking at you that way. I can definitely relate to that, and that can actually add to the depression, I'm sure. And one of the things I'm sure that really did not help the situation was the multiple surgeries, because it seems like right when you start to feel better, that's when it's time to basically have another one. So, you know, how did you make it through that, and how did you get through that kind of depression?
Well, for the first year, everything, I didn't get through anything okay. I mean, I had an attitude. My anger was probably the worst at that moment because I was mad at myself for putting me in a predicament because I blamed myself, you know, just because. And it was just a struggle. It was a struggle. And trying to adapt to these surgeries, I had nurses coming in at least 3 times a week into my house. I had an automatic, like, IV, which they call a PICC line in my body, you know. It was bad, and then I had my daughter. Through this whole struggle, my daughter's here. So it was very, very depressing. I mean, it was times that I was just, you know, I wish that things had just went completely left. You know, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to struggle. You know, and then I guess they started telling me about protein. They started telling me, oh, well, if you eat protein, eat more protein, your body will heal faster. And so I took it upon myself to just, I was already into social networks and stuff. So I just started hashtagging healthy foods and protein and just started doing my research. I got so interested in it that I was only able to get out of the house for 3 hours a day. So I took a course at a local community college on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned about it just for myself because I had to learn, I had to heal my body. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do it no more. So I went on, took the course, started eating right. I changed everything. I changed, it wasn't no canned goods in my house, no boxed foods. I changed everything because I had to. You know, mm-hmm. if not, then I was going to just keep beating myself up. So I ended up losing 100 pounds in like 8 months.
Wow.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, it just came from eating right. It came from eating right. I did maybe two days a week of just some cardio and some small weightlifting, but it literally was eating. It was eating and drinking water. I stopped drinking everything. I was a Dr. Pepper lover, so drunk everything, and I just started drinking water. 8 months, 100 pounds.
Wow, that is amazing.
I was so in denial about the weight loss that, you know, I was in like size 42 jeans at first. So instead of just thinking like, let me get my waist measured, I would just go down one size every time. So all my jeans for like a year straight was still too big. Then I finally got my waist measured, and I was a size 29.
Wow.
That is pretty darn awesome. Hey, before we continue, Wes, I've got a quick question from one of our listeners. This is from Lisa, and her question stems back to when you were talking about, you know, being in the hospital, recovering, you had to rely a lot on individuals around you. And she wants to know how much or how big of a role your family played in helping you with your daughter through all of this.
My mom has been there since day one. So she actually, you know, if I really needed her, she came through. I do have a lot of family support that assisted with my daughter as well as friends. So she was taken care of if she couldn't be around me. If it was that serious where she couldn't be around me, then someone would keep her for a couple of days and just bring her to see me here and out until I was able to at least, you know, cope with her being around. Because sometimes it was serious, you know, and, you know, they had me on meds and everything, so it wasn't a good look, and I didn't want, at that time, she was four or five, you know, five. I didn't want her going through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talk a lot about on this show about how important, you know, your support circle is, whether that's family, friends, coworkers, you know, they all play a big role in the things that we go through. So, you know, glad to hear that you had that level of support there to help you through this, because that was a long, intensive process. I mean, you know, 1 year straight of surgeries, another year basically to kind of get you out of your funk, if you will, to deal with your depression, to learn how to deal with your depression after that. And then we get to the point of the story where you left off. You went to a nutrition course. You lost 100 pounds. Kind of new lease on life, and then, you know, what happens there? You were only working out a couple days a week with lightweight.
What?
And from what I've seen, you can pull yourself up on a rope, and I mean, high distance, still in your wheelchair. So something happened. Something happened in between the lightweight and scaling rope.
Well, see what happened. In the process of me losing the weight and everything, I got really interested in fitness. And I went back to social media and started looking up people in wheelchairs that did some type of fitness. And once I started to see what could be done, I started experimenting. I started going to the gym. I couldn't do much, though, because I was still kind of on bed rest at the beginning. I had my last surgery March 2015. And so once I – and if we go back just 2-3 months, in the midst of that, I was actually working. I had my last surgery – well, my second to last in January. And when I got that surgery, I had to be on bed rest for 6 weeks. And I had to be on a specialized bed without getting up. So it was bed baths and everything. But I was so on a health kick that I brought my own little mini refrigerator, and I had my own food because I was still trying to be healthy, and I wanted to heal. So I got into researching and doing things, and I actually had created a nonprofit to at least promote health and fitness in the disabled community. So then, once I started to have set goals for myself and have an actual outlook, I didn't want anybody that's in a chair to go what I went through. That's my mentality. Like, if I can help prevent it, please let me do so. Because even certain things, I feel like if it was brought to me, I probably would have woke up a little bit. If you send me a picture of a pressure ulcer, there's no way I'm not going to prevent myself from not having that. You know, it's that serious. So if I could spread the awareness and share it to people, then that's what I want to do. So it made me want to constantly find things and be involved in them. So I started doing 5K runs. I did my first one with Kevin Hart. He came to Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he did one run for Hart, and I did it. And once I did it, it was like, ooh, I could do this. And I started to go to the gym. I started bodybuilding 2016. I went to an expo because I was just trying to meet people since I was trying to do this nonprofit and just meet people in cheers and things. So someone told me, like, hey, man, I've seen your videos and things. Well, why don't you try this bodybuilding? So next thing you know, I'm dieting for a competition. That was like a month later. Went to the bodybuilding competition and actually finished second place in the lightweight. So
nice.
I felt good about it because it was my first one, you know. And I was only 127 pounds. So think about that, from 230 pounds to 127 in like a year's time. Like, it was just a good feeling. You know, being on the stage, I was smiling because I've never been like this. I've always been heavy. So, you know, it's like people are looking at my body now. Back then, I had a T-shirt on. You didn't want to see what was under there. Yeah. So, and in the midst of that, a good friend of mine now actually brought me into Adaptive CrossFit. She told me to watch this video on YouTube called Working Wounded Game. I watched it. I literally dropped tears in my eyes because it showed the abilities of not just people in wheelchairs, but of all kinds of disabilities. And it opened my eyes up to something way more. So I had to do it. I had to do it. And so I competed like a month later. They had a competition coming up. I had to do it.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I mean, it was the hardest competition I've ever did because I was new to it. But it was encouraging. Everybody kind of, you know, they supported me. It was a different atmosphere. And it made me realize that I can bring people to this. You know, it was a good feeling, and it still is.
So, Wes, I want to jump in mm-hmm. here real quick because this is tying in with our questions, and our listener questions are starting to pile up. So I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. But listener Jack, he wants to know, he's not familiar with Adaptive CrossFit. So you were just explaining about your first competition. It was so tough. Why don't you give us a little bit of background about what Adaptive CrossFit is and, like, what were some of the things in the competition that you participated in?
Well, I would say if you know what CrossFit is, adaptive CrossFit is exactly the same. It's the same movements, just modified. So you do snatches. You do overhead pressing with the barbells. You can, at the competition, we had to do box jumps. So I had to get out of my wheelchair, get between two boxes, and use some type of my hands and my strength to jump up on a 20-inch box. I had to
get
do it
out. What? Get out.
Yeah. It was like three rounds. It was a couple rounds. And then it gets serious, but it gets you out. It pushes you. I do pull-ups. We do ring pull-ups with adaptive CrossFit. I do mine out of the chair and in the chair. I like to strap my chair up. It's kind of, it gives me extra weight. I can't feel my legs. So it gives me the extra weight that is something down there, truthfully. So I got to strap my, you know. So, but adaptive, like I said, and it's adaptive, modified workouts for people with all types of disabilities. It's not just, I have a spinal cord injury, but, you know, you have amputees, you have people with CP, which is cerebral palsy, you have people with MS, you know, so you're seeing people battle everything. And they're just and being supported by different people. We're all going through different battles, but the same struggle. If that makes sense. So
yes,
you know, we have to support each other when we don't see support from other people. You know, some people don't understand what you're going through, and they never will.
That's
but
right.
There is somebody that do. So. That's, you know, so that's how I feel. You know, I like to let people know I've been through it. And if, look, I understand. And all you need is me. You don't have to look for nobody else. All you need is me because I understand.
Wow. That's all I can say. I didn't even know there was such a thing as adaptive CrossFit. But now that you just described it, I'm like, I totally have to see this now.
Yes.
I would love to see this now. So, and real quick, Kaylin, I want to get this next question, and then I'll turn the floor over to you. But, Wes, Blake wants to know if you are a personal trainer.
Actually, my goal this year and is to actually get all my certifications.
Don't make a problem
making it.
Don't have a problem matching that goal.
My CrossFit training license, as well as my adaptive CrossFit trainer's license. And then I'm going to go ahead and take the course to be a personal trainer so that I can know all the fundamentals and the science so that I won't be teaching someone the wrong thing.
Sure.
Man, I really have no doubt with if you put your head to it that you have any trouble getting to that field or study or whatever you have in front of you because I don't think you have obstacles. You just got challenges. So, you know, hats off to that. I mean, I'm learning something, seem like, with every word you're saying. So, you know, thanks so much. And also, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, is like getting through what you've been through. It sounds like that hadn't really deterred you in anything, and you haven't really, you know, fallen back into that rut. And, you know, I know we all have those days. But what keeps you going? Is it just that you see so much opportunity ahead of you that you don't even have time to think about it?
No, actually what keeps me going is every morning I wake up, I see a little girl in the other room. I don't even care about anything else but becoming the best person she can ever look up to. You know, so she has to see me push. Every morning I'm up cooking my breakfast, getting ready for the gym, getting ready to take her to school. It was times when I had to have someone take her to school every morning. So for me to do this and let her see this every morning, it makes my day. It motivates me to keep pushing. When I get home, when I'm showing trophies, when I'm showing videos, she's excited about it. It's not even what everybody else thinks. It's just my daughter. And that's the only thing that I think about because it's just me and her. So yeah, you know, and she does CrossFit now. You know,
Oh. She's
into fitness. She actually does yoga. She practices yoga in her room. It's amazing. And so, you know, and she eat healthy and she's okay with it. So, you know, if I can lead by example, starting with mine, then I know that, you know, maybe whatever else comes my way, I know that people, you know, they'll look up to it because I'm striving for her.
Wow.
That's the only thing I think about when I get up in the morning is what I can do for my daughter.
And you can definitely tell that you're a proud dad for sure. There is no doubt about that. I see your posts on Facebook, and you can definitely tell, the love that you have there. And I'm glad she's following in your path, that she's into CrossFit as well. So got a fit family going there. That's another thing that Kaylin and I touch on from time to time is how important it is, you know, that parents lead by example, because the children tend to follow what their parents do. So that's awesome that that's evident in your household. I am going to take a quick step back again, going back to your change in diet and how that impacted your overall health. You lost over 100 pounds, and I think, you know, prior to that, there were a lot of things going on that were challenges for you just because your health was not in the place that it needed to be for your body to do what it needed to be. And both Brenda and Belinda, say that five times fast, Brenda and Belinda, want to know if your clean diet aided in your recovery.
I want to say it did, because after the six weeks of bed rest, like, I had a surgery done where I literally couldn't be on my bottom. So I was on a specialized bed. I was healed after the 6 weeks. This was the second time I had that surgery. So the first time after 6 weeks, we went through a whole nother year of nurses and wound vacs and things like that. So I want to say yes, it did.
And real quick, Sarah wants to know if you were a heavy lifter. Hold on, if he was a heavy lifter when he weighed so much, or did he get into fitness after being shot? Okay. Sarah wants to know, sorry, I had to get my mind wrapped around this question, wanted to know if you were into lifting weights, lifting heavy prior to being shot, or did that happen following the accident? And I think that was something that happened for you following the accident.
Yes, because the only thing I lifted before that was donuts.
I love it. Donuts and Dr. Pepper. Well, there you go.
Yes,
now you've traded
yes.
those in to lift something a little heavier.
Oh, my goodness.
So I want to toot your horn a little bit. So I have in front of me a few notes that says, so the Mid-America Rehabilitation Hospital, which I believe is where you were getting treated, you are now a peer counselor with that organization, with that hospital, for others with disabilities. So, again, you're helping to spread the love and knowledge to people who have been in a place where you have been in. Also, earlier this year, you were named one of 9 Grit Trailblazers nationwide by the Boston-based Grit Freedom Chair Company. Tell us a little bit about that. What did it take to be named one of 9 Grit Trailblazers?
All right, so actually it took a video. they wanted you to submit a video and your story, and I kind of had prior experience to a grit chair, a wheelchair. It's kind of like an off-road kind of wheelchair, and I had kind of had experience with it at an expo, so I knew exactly what it was, and I was interested. I made a video, but I actually did my video in the gym. You know, breathing all heavy and sweat coming down my face. I just felt like at that moment I was so, I guess, hyped up, maybe off the pre-workout, but I was hyped up, and it was like it was the time to make the video, and they loved it. You know, I think I have an awesome personality, so I mean, I made a pretty cool video. I just really told them exactly what I was doing, and you know what I wanted to pursue, and what I felt, you know, that I could do for the cheer itself and things, and so. Looky here, I got a Grit Freedom chair sitting here in my house, like, so I was able to use it for, I'll be able to use it for 12 months, and hey, you never know, so it was just an awesome opportunity, especially being able, you know, like you said, 1 out of 9, I mean, it was a lot of people that submitted, and hey, they picked the guy from Kansas City, so I'm happy.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Now, there's something that Des had alluded to earlier, and it was about that rope pull. And I don't think she did it justice with how far you climbed up on that thing. Now, that's not something that's done overnight. I mean, and you're not using chalk or gloves. Hey, come on, man. Just tell me how you worked all that up.
Well, I'll tell you like this, man. I never climbed a rope before. So it was like a challenge, but it was a new challenge. It wasn't like one of those where I had prior experience and I struggled. So the first time I tried it without the chair. I went right on up, and I felt like I needed the chair, but I didn't think I had the strength like that. So I waited a week. I went back. I tried it again. I barely got up in the chair. I felt like I was the weakest person at that moment. So I finished my workout, came back to the rope, and I went on up. I climbed on up. All I can say is never give up, because I didn't give up when I couldn't do it the first time. I just knew that I could do it if I could climb up the rope on my own. You know, mm-hmm. So what's this little weight in this chair? So I just went on and tried it again, and hey, I went all the way to the top. Now I will say this is not something that I prefer doing every day. But you know, if it comes down to an apocalypse or something, just throw me the rope. I'm with it. Okay.
Oh, shoot. So how
I'm
high
coming
is
with
the rope?
Y'all, so.
How high is the rope?
I don't know, but I know when I look down, it's very far. So coming down the rope is kind of like, you know, you can't let go. So going up is like I just see the ceiling, but coming down, oh man, I was a person scared of heights before. So you know, I'm challenging all my fears at this moment.
You sure are.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. And knocking them out one by one. Look at you. Awesome. So you've talked about your nonprofit organization. It's called Disabled But Not Really, because you want to be able to help individuals with disabilities. So what exactly, what kind of things are you offering through your nonprofit, or what kind of things have you been able to do thus far since you formed it?
Okay. I started it in 2015, so we're still going through the process of getting it actually. Actually, we're currently waiting on the 501c3 status.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're waiting on it, we're actually starting some programs that should be jumping off by summertime.
Okay.
So everything should be in motion. Basically, we're going to start off with, like, simple meet and greet, letting the community know what we're trying to do. I really want to reach out and, you know, get into some schools and really talk to some newly injured, as well as people that's been injured for a while. Rather, it's just about nutrition, or it's about something more like fitness, you know, or getting them into a competition. it doesn't have to be serious. It's just getting you out there. You know, I completely understand firsthand what it feels like to look at four walls a day, you know, and a door. So we're really just trying to motivate people with disabilities to get out, be active, you know, live life. You know, we can't constantly dwell on things that we have no control over, but we can push through them, and we can smile. We can just be happy about it. You know what I mean? Find other ways to smile about it. I want everyone to smile like I do. It wasn't easy, but I won't go back to what it was before. You know, I mean, I've accepted, you know, the terms that I will walk as I push myself to get there. But I'm not going to lay around all day long and dwell and beat myself up anymore. So, you know, that's the direction, you know. So we're trying to empower the disabled community, you know, and bring out physical activity, you know, through programs. And you know, fitness, wellness. We wanna give them a physically limitless mindset, because that's literally what I have. I feel like it's not even the sky no more. You know, we done made it to other planets now. So you see how far I'm reaching, and I want everyone to reach that far, because, you know, once you put yourself confined in something, then you can't see how far you can go. But if you have your mindset to go as far as you can think of, which is, to me, is galaxies, then, hey, it's no stopping you. Every day you wake up smiling because you're pushing yourself to be stronger than you was yesterday. It's not about what you can physically do, but what you can mentally do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's my thing. I want everyone to have that mindset. It was hard to get it, but you get it from your struggles. You get it from battles. And if you haven't went through a battle, then get it from someone that's telling you about it. You know what I mean? And just learn how to, before you get two shots to your body, and the only thing going through your head is what I didn't do in life.
Yes. Yes.
So just live your life.
Well,
you know,
let's elaborate on that, because that's a good point. Because, you know, a lot of the times when Des was saying, we've had people on the show, and people think, you know, oh, they've been like that all their life, or this is something that they were born into, or they just were always leaning that way. And you're proof positive that, you know, with hard work, everything changes if you change and work hard at what you're trying to do. And like you're saying, you know, it wasn't easy, and it was a struggle. And you know, I hate when, I can say that because I'm not talking about a person. I hate when people dismiss the struggle with the understanding that where you are now. There was a lot of in-between time. And, you know, I can speak from this personally. When, you know, when people would leave the hospital room and you're the only one in there when they shut the lights out, there's a lot of time between that night and that morning. And you have to deal with each and every one of those days. So, you know, kudos to where you are right now. But, you know, like you said, when you're basically bringing others along with you, how do you go about that with the person that is struggling like you did at that time?
My approach, it's not even to just push them to becoming, you know, fitness, anything. It's really helping you gain that confidence. It's helping you get that mentality. So rather you talk to me or you just listen to, you know, me explain my struggles or something like that, which you can probably relate to, but you're not open enough to talk about it. You know, it might give them, you know, clarity, you know, like, oh, okay, it's okay. You know, sometimes basically, that's my approach. I don't want to start being aggressive. I just want to listen. I want to know what you're going through and see if I can help you from my experience, because I experienced a lot. And if I didn't go through it, maybe something that I'm doing or my mentality can help you push. And then once you get your confidence and you're able to push yourself, then, hey, jump on the bandwagon. Let's go ahead and do some competitions. Let's have some fun. But at first, you have to get your mindset, and you want to be around someone that's willing to help you get that. You know,
yeah.
I built my mindset literally by myself. Like, even though I had support with my daughter, like, a lot of times I found myself by myself. And, you know, I humble myself because I know how it feels to just really be alone, even when you're in a room surrounded with people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I try to, you know, I guess open those doors and let people know that they're not alone. And once you realize you're not alone, your confidence comes back. You know, a lot of people are closed in those rooms and they don't let people know, you know, because even though it's 1,000 people coming through, mentally they're alone. You know, because you're not understanding. You're just there. You know, you might just be an aide or something, but you don't understand what they're going through. So they feel lost. I felt lost. Let me just say it like that. I was lost. I was lost. No matter who, I wanted everybody to love me because I couldn't love myself.
Wow.
I had to love myself in order to mentally get strong. And I didn't realize that. But now that I love myself, I can smile every day. And this doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. And I can go ahead and try to let other people know that they can, you know, love themselves. Once you love yourself, you don't care about who loves you. You know, a lot of people don't get that. You know, a lot of people will love someone else before they know who they are. Well, I found myself. And once I found out who I was, I'm like, well, hey. It's just a cheer. It might be harder to get in the car, you know, or I might not be able to hop in, but I can get in. You know, airports might be complicated, but I fly. I try to do a lot of being active and going out and doing like those 5K runs. You know, they actually include hills on the 5K runs to make them challenging. So, you know, sometimes it's very hard, and I'm probably thinking I'm going to fall out my chair, but, you know, I get down there or I get up the hill. It's a challenge, you know, but it's better than sitting around the house all day.
Amen to that.
And I mean, in the words that you say, I mean, they are so applicable to anyone and everyone, not just someone who's facing a disability, because even for those of us who may not have a physical disability, you know, we have those walls in our mind, those rooms in our mind that keep us boxed up, locked up, keep us from reaching our full potential. And you know, we all need to take note and just, you know, as you said, live life. To the best of your ability. Live life to the best of your ability. So for someone out there who does have a physical disability, or for those of us who may know someone who does and can benefit from, you know, networking or being connected with your nonprofit, what is the best way for people to reach out with you and connect with you?
You can actually go directly to disabledbutnotreally.org. It's just how it sounds. There's no extra words, or extra letters. Directly on the website, it has a link to all the social networks, so then you don't have to just listen to my username. You can just click on them and follow. You can go to my YouTube channel and look at workouts and things if you're interested in how, you know, I do certain movements. I have a blog on there, so it really gets into the perspective of someone that's in a wheelchair. So if you're interested, you can look at those topics and, hey, feel free to read on. There is other ways like email. You can actually contact me directly through the website. So basically your search engine would be the website if you want to reach me, because it's the best way. It's the best way. It has galleries and things where you can be able to visualize and see pictures of the CrossFit competition. The YouTube channel actually has video of some of the adaptive CrossFit competition, so feel free to look at that, because it could be someone that's not in a wheelchair that's listening, you know, and they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They could be interested. So at least you can kind of see that. And so disabledbutnotreally.org, if you get
is a place
if you go
to
there,
be.
You,
all right,
you can
so disabledbutnotreally.org.
Yep.
So folks, write that down, look him up, and reach out. Well, Wes, I mean, I've just been blown away by your story and about everything that you've shared with us tonight and just your overall disposition and, you know, just the motivational things that you have shared with us tonight. So I want to say thank you again for taking the time to join us and for sharing with us, and would also like to give you the chance to say thank you or give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who's been there with you along this journey thus far.
Okay, well, you know, I would actually like to shout out my family, my friends, the guys that I reached out to when I was in the hospital that actually motivated me, Matt Leon and Marcus Williams. He's actually in charge of something called Light on Life, so if you're interested, it's Live Your Day Overcoming, and he's actually a mentor to me, and he's pushed me real far. So I would like to just shout out them and whomever else I've missed, my therapist and everybody that really just walked through, and everyone that supports me, everyone that looks up to me, everyone that's interested in watching me progress and wants to join me as I go. I want you to join. I want to share the shine with you. I don't want to do this by myself. So if you're out there, reach out to me and let's get this together. Let's start something. Let's build this community. Whether it's disabled or able-bodied people, just reach out. You know, we're all open to talk and push yourself. Work out a little bit.
Talk
let's
right
do
there.
It.
That's some real talk right there.
That is some real talk. Well, Wes, you have a wonderful evening, and you know, don't be a stranger. Keep us updated as the status on your nonprofit progresses, and be sure to keep Kayla and I in the loop on anything new, any future competitions that you have coming up, because we'd love to know.
Sounds good. Well, thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
I appreciate it. You too.
Thanks a lot, Wes.
Well, after listening to all of that, you know, I feel like there's really nothing I shouldn't be able to get out there and go do.
You know, isn't it embarrassing? His nickname is so right, because after he talks to you, you will be humble. I mean, it's like the smile, you could feel it through everything he was saying, and he's just so energized to get even better than where he is now. And like you said, you know, why should it take being in a wheelchair to find that you that you've been looking for all your life? It shouldn't come to that. And I love that he brought that out, you know, that even though he doesn't want anybody else to get to that moment before they see what he sees now. And just think about that, Des, how just so giving and sharing and loving that statement is in itself, and the fact that he's reaching out even further than his state and where he is. And my goodness, if that doesn't just make you think three times harder on how you can help and assist others that are struggling.
Exactly. I mean, and it makes me think back to when we had our discussion with Daniel Strong, and even though they both wound up, you know, Daniel's not in a wheelchair, but he's an amputee, and he is that way because of an accident. And so, you know, there are a lot of similarities to their story, even with, you know, being single dads and raising daughters throughout the whole process of,
oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, trying to regain their own health and get their mind wrapped around what's happening to them to overcome and be out there using health and wellness to help shape other people's lives the way that their lives are transformed the same way.
Exactly. And if you look, both of these gentlemen are not slowing down. They
no.
are actually picking up steam and picking up speed to be even better than I mean, it's just amazing to watch what's happening, because you like we get to see it, and I'm sure now that the natural community is learning of these two gentlemen, they get to see it even better, that they're not playing around, they're not doing this, you know, for look at me. they're basically saying, look at, you know, everything that's happening as life improves around me because of the work that I'm putting in. And that's just amazing to me that they're letting their actions speak so much louder than what they're saying. And they have a lot to say, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and just like Wes was saying, you know, I don't want to do this alone. Join me. I mean, they both, Wes and Daniel, have open invitations for people to jump on board and make a difference in their personal lives, but in lives for others. And I think, you know, back to your point, they're not doing these things, you know, to say, look at me. They're doing these things to say, let's work together to make this world a better place.
Yes.
I mean, and even though that sounds corny, it's true. I mean, it's just what they're doing.
But if you think about it, isn't that what a dad is supposed to do for his daughter?
Mm, definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're just making sure that they have a good world for their daughters to grow up in. And how better protection and how much love and how better an idea of self-respect and self-esteem do they give to their children when they play out life in that manner?
Exactly. And, you know, just one other thing that I want to call out is that both of these guys, they struggled. They were down at the bottom of the pit, but they didn't stay there. And, you know, if there's anyone who's listening who's like, you know, maybe experiencing something similar and are battling depression or just feel like there's no place to go and are feeling like, well, you know what, that's them, they're not me. You know, it's not working that way for me, but I would challenge you and just say that it can work that way for you. Just don't give up hope on that. You know, we have two totally different stories, two different examples, but the outcome is the same, and I got to believe there's more of them out there. We just haven't heard all of the stories. So, you know, it's possible. I mean, and you're living proof of it too, so I guess that's three stories right there where you have life-altering accidents and you all three made a choice to say, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to get over this, and I'm going to be better at the end of it than I was when I started.
Exactly. And I'm glad you also brought up the fact about, you know, Daniel, because I know there were some listeners that really thought, you know, since Daniel was already lifting, that he was going to be the guy that could already do it anyway. So, you know, basically he was just getting back to his normal, even though his normal had been altered in some way. Then you have Wes, and I really wanted to drive that home because I had remembered that in the back of my mind, how dismissive people were of Daniel with his struggle because, you know, he was already into lifting. So, you know, basically he's getting his body back to what had been lost. But like Wes said, all he lifted was a donut. And then now look at him with what he's doing now. So, you know, basically in an effort to bring up excuses to impede your life and your progress, you actually shoot yourself in the foot because unintentionally, Des and I have been bringing guests on that are super, basically, excuse busters. And they just tear them up and blow them to crap because they're not having it, and they never looked for an excuse, so they only found solutions. So, you know, no matter what's going on, there's something that can be better. But like Wes said, he had to get around people that were ensuring that that growth was sustainable because a lot of times we try to hold on to things that are not beneficial to our lives or our health.
Yes, totally agree. Couldn't have said it better. And thank you for sharing that perspective. Whew, just so much there. I've just now been reminded that we have 60 seconds left before our show enters in. Why am I having such trouble with words these past couple of weeks? I don't know what's going on with me. I can't even blame it on low carb.
Great shows.
Yes, that's what it is. So quickly, next Tuesday, Earl Snyder, he is going to be talking to us about on behalf of the NGA. Going to let us know all of the great things that the organization has in store for the natural bodybuilding community in 2017. So do tune in. Yep. We're continuing our tour of organization heads, so you're going to want to be in for that one. Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout-out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle.
Snickerdoodle, be watching for our upcoming video on snickerfoodle. And on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and P for P Muscle, your body's a temple. Let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.